Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of December, recording at 5:20 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And I will commence, though, as I usually do, with a quick review of the week. Stock markets quietly steady, but still within this reaction phase. Government bonds giving up a little bit of ground this week. We need to keep an eye on that. And the U.S. dollar a bit steadier, really more of a dead cat bounce, loss of downside momentum. But there are a lot of shorts in the market, so we need to watch that. Precious metals, a sell-off, partial recovery yesterday, and a bit of seesawing in here today. The industrial metals, mostly steady. They were weaker yesterday, but have, for the most part, rebounded in here today. And grains and beans, ranging at the moment. Few things in the soft commodities area that are, I think, a bit interesting that traders might want to look at: feeder cattle and cocoa. Those in particular come to mind. And last but not least, certainly crude oil, firmer here today at 63.42. That's the NYMEX crude. Okay, where are we in the scheme of things? Well, I referred to this reaction phase for stock markets, and it's been a small reaction. I don't expect more than that. I haven't expected more than that all along. I can't say that it's over, and some markets really didn't see much of a reaction at all, but they still could. And it is notable, if you go through the daily charts, you will see that today there were quite a few small downside key day reversals. Now, I want to emphasize small. All they suggest to me is that, you know, we might see a little bit more to-ing and fro-ing in markets. And some of them had occurred where we had seen particularly strong gains for quite some time. Singapore is an example. But you'll find a number of them. I wish to emphasize, I don't think we're going to see anything more than a bit of a reaction in here. I've carefully avoided the word correction for this. We are in, of course, the sort of the Santa Claus season where people from a Christian background, at any rate, expect the it's hardly Christian, is it? It's Disney. Expect the Santa Claus year-end rally. But the thing is, we saw most of that in October and November, and a bit in September as well. So I think that, you know, one shouldn't be surprised if we see more to-ing and fro-ing among these stock markets generally. Now, next year, third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle, historically really quite bullish, particularly since the late 1960s, it's been quite bullish. There will be headwinds that stock markets will face, and they will cause at least one, I would expect, medium-term correction during the year. And the areas to watch would be government bonds, and we've seen a little bit of faltering in here quite recently. I think bond yields are really too low, and you've got to be really a big pessimist in terms of the U.S. economy, and by that I mean seeing a hard landing. I posted a report here today from BNP which mentions just that, which you can read. But that's more pessimistic than I am, and one would also have to be pretty well convinced that that was going to spread across the various different countries that trade with the U.S., which is pretty well all of them, and lead to possibly a, a global recession. Well, I don't see that. So what I'm saying is that government bond yields are priced for perfection, and I think there's plenty of room for disappointment in here. And when the disappointment is on a scale where yields are testing the highs that we have seen earlier this year, and those highs were around the May period, then that's going to cause trouble for stock markets, just as it did last May. So we need to watch that. And then there's a crude oil price, and people have gotten used to crude being down here in the low $60 region or below over the last few months, and they're extrapolating that trend, as they always do. And I think that oil and the other petroleum contracts continue to show evidence that they are bottoming out prior to moving higher. And I would not be that surprised if we saw new highs for crude oil in 2007. Now, the only thing that might stand in the way of that, I suspect, would be, again, if the U.S. recession, let alone hard landing, advocates are right, and also if, for whatever other reasons, crude oil just gets a longer pause consolidation, as often is the case within secular bull trends, before it does resume its move on the upside. But again, as I said, I would not be at all surprised if we did see a new high for oil next year, and that would certainly create a headwind for stock markets. So those are among the main problems that we have to look for, or that we have to watch, that we have to monitor, and understand in advance some of the implications when those moves do occur, particularly if they occur concurrently, as they might well do so. And another one is the US dollar, and there are a lot of forecasts coming out, some people bullish, some people bearish. Inevitably, that's what makes a market. In the very short term right now, the dollar is oversold. That's not going to produce more than a little bit of a short covering rally. The way that normally works is, for instance, the dollar has a reasonably high yield relative to other currencies. There are higher yielders, of course, but it does the federal funds rate is at 5.25%. So if, for instance, one has sold the dollar against the yen, or bought the yen against the dollar on a leveraged forex trade, it's fine if the dollar is weakening, of course. But if the dollar stops weakening and is just ranging, then that interest rate differential is clocking up big bucks on the deficit side, and then eventually people break ranks and start to cover those shorts, and you get a rebound, and then it will weaken again if it's still within a overall trend. So that's the type of action that I would not be at all surprised to see, possibly a short covering rally, and some ranging and messing about before the dollar continues its overall slide. And the risks are to the downside, not in the very short term, but I'm talking about in terms of the bigger move. And I've already covered the government bonds, so go back to stock markets for a few moments. The area, the fertile ground that I like when the environment is reasonably bullish, and it certainly has been reasonably bullish since the successful test of the June lows in July for most stock market indices, it remains emerging markets, and that will certainly be the case. They'll get the higher growth rates, higher than the US. They have some interesting themes: the commodity secular bull cycle, the Asian growth cycle. So these are powerful themes, and I think they will remain popular with investors. Certainly, this investor, provided the charts continue to perform for quite some time. But we have to remember that they're high beta markets. So when we get the next correction, we will see some sharp reactions there. Meanwhile, keep an eye on the leash effect, and that's the Wall Street leash effect. As long as Wall Street is reasonably steady, and it's up a little bit in here today, then that enables other markets, particularly the fashionable ones, to do quite well overall, as we have seen. But if Wall Street is seen to be declining and people become nervous, then there's high beta markets pull down and pull back rather, and generally fall further than Wall Street is falling because they are a high beta. So that's again what we need to look out for, particularly next year. Yesterday I wrote a piece saying that one of the most important things to do would be to anticipate and protect ourselves against the next genuine bear market in equities. I don't think we're going to see that in 2007. That doesn't mean that it couldn't happen, but that will be one of the great challenges to be able to avoid that. Now, again, it's not death or the end of the world if one doesn't anticipate it and get out of the way, but it could wipe out several years of performance, and we don't want that. So these are themes, these are long-term themes that I will be focusing on, and of course that Owen will be focusing on as well at Fuller Money. Okay, moving on, precious metals continuing to consolidate. The dollar has helped. We saw most of the gains in response to that occurring last month, and some of them in October. And I think really most people are not in the gold market who potentially could be in the gold market. You know, the gold bugs, people who have liked gold all along. And well, when I say all along, over the last 5 years, I should say, and that certainly includes me, and we're represented there because we see the buildup of support on the charts and we see the dollar weakening. We think this is quite a good story. But for the world at large, in terms of investors and traders, there are a lot of competing interests. And they've seen stock markets recover from their June lows far faster than precious metals, although silver's had a pretty good run recently. But you get the point. They've also seen government bonds get a rally from the their low prices in May. And so that has appealed to a number of investors and has calmed down fears over inflation. And then the soft commodities have attracted more interest recently. So there is a lot of investment money and also speculative money that could head towards gold, but is not there at the moment. Now, I think that as gold establishes itself above 650, and I thought sort of hoped really that that might happen as soon as this week, but no way that's happening this week. And maybe, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened before year end, but whenever it happens, gold above 650 for more than a brief look, and I think that will draw in a few more people. Gold above 675.80, that's taking out the July high. That will be quite important, and then when that occurs, then I think a lot of people will recognize that all this trading that we have been seeing since the June low has been a support building process within a secular bull market. But the key factor to look for, because what I'm saying is just an opinion, the fact that you want to monitor, of course, aside from the price chart, is look at gold in other currencies. We show them all, of course, in the chart library. And when gold is rising against all currencies, that's something that we have not seen since May. And it had a good run rising against all currencies for a number of months. But when it is next rising against all currencies, then the bull market proper will have resumed, and we can expect quite a powerful, persistent advance. Now, that's not imminent. We're going to have to wait for it. And industrial metals, they continue, that is, to confound the skeptics. Very steady performance overall. And it's because there's a lot of demand for these things. And I don't see that changing dramatically due to supply bottlenecks. And again, global GDP growth led by the Asian giants of China and India. And soft commodities, well, they're going to provide some drama, certainly. And the big story is that a lot of the, well, none, well, I think pretty well all of the stockpiles in the grain and bean complex, which have been quite high in recent years, sometimes for many years they've been quite high, are much, much reduced. And that may well lead to some more price spikes in the months and years ahead. And I think that's about it. I'm out of here a little bit early this evening for a concert, and looking forward to the weekend. I trust you are as well. And so, meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.